Okay, everybody, let's get started. Welcome to our third and final town hall. We're glad you're here. And we are going to see if I can. I can't. I have to get to the right screen to actually advance in my PowerPoint. There we go. Let's start out with regular serenity prayer and God or higher power or whatever of your choice to start with. Okay. Higher power.
Grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference.
And just a reminder of tradition two, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity. Okay, our agenda for today is to introduce the ballot prep committee, the proposal presenters, and then review some guidelines, the goals, and then we'll have the presentation of the proposals with time for questions and answers for each one. And then at the end, we'll have some general questions and answers if anybody has questions about just the ballot process or the ABC in general. Okay, committee members, I'm Mary Jo, and I'm from Illinois.
Hi, Mary Jo. Hi, everyone. Jim, calling in from Florida.
Hi, Jim. And I'm the other Jim, Jim R. In New York.
I'm Brad from Maryland.
Okay. It's a lot of fun on our committee. Jim, will you respond? Oh, Jim B. Jim. Okay, and we can always use more people on our committee, so if you're interested, let us know. Our proposal presenters for today, for proposal number 5, we have Linda from the Southern California IG in Culver City, and then for web number 14, web 0120, we have Paul KF from Canada, Ontario, and then the 15, 16, and 18 specifically, we have the Global Member Subcommittee and Sue V. 17 is a combined proposal between Global and the Maryland MD-0060 meeting. And so Sue and Brad will present that one. So during the question and answer times, please raise your hand in Zoom to speak. Most of us have a newer version of Zoom, which means you have to go into somewhere. I can't see, it's different on my screen. So if you aren't able to raise your hand for some reason, please add your information or tell us in chat that you want to speak. And then, chat is only available to the Zoom hosts. Please mute your audio when you're not speaking. And if you'll be moving around at all, please turn off your video. Our goals are to provide an opportunity for the proposing groups to give information and answer fellowship questions. And then we'll explain what the ballot represents. And then, as I said at the end, any general ballot or ABC questions we'll be glad to respond to. So we'll get right into it. And the way we'll do this is I will read the proposal and then I'll turn it over to the person from that group who will have 3 minutes to present any ideas that they want to beyond what are even in addition to what are same as what they had in their proposal. And then we'll have 10 minutes of questions and answers. The questions will be 1 minute each. For most of the things that we've done, actually, we've let everybody ask questions or make comments and then had the presenter or the proposal presenter respond at the end. I'll just sort of see what if there's any questions that it seems appropriate to have them answer right away or hold it till the end as we go through. So, all right. So starting with proposal five.
And you'll be able to see the timer up in my box if you're in gallery view.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brad. All right. So the first proposal we'll be doing, as I said, is number five. And the issue is we propose that WSO use the acronym ACA/DF in order to include people whose parents are not alcoholics. This is similar to one we already had, but we want them to have the opportunity to present also. So Linda, you're up.
I am Linda, and the reason for this is many members, especially newcomers, are confused because they do not have alcoholic parents. They are part of dysfunctional families. By including the initials DF in the acronym, we can encourage more people to heal from their childhood trauma and have a better understanding of the fellowship. The new acronym will be aligned with the broad message of healing in the literature. And the reason for this was because I was in a meeting and there was a newcomer and she got very upset because people were sharing only about dysfunction and not alcoholics. And she thought this was an alcoholic meeting. And that's what got us to thinking about this possibility. That's all.
Great, thank you, Linda. Okay, now we will take questions or comments from other participants. Raise your hand if you have anything.
No questions?
Okay, we've got one. Sue V.
Hi there, I'm Sue V, Grateful Adult Child in Global Members Subcommittee. My question is around the logo and the name, and it's just a curious question. We have always been called adult children of alcoholics, and then we added and dysfunctional families. Do you think that, and I'm not suggesting we do so, but do you think we should be looking at adult children of dysfunctional families and adult children of dysfunctional and alcoholic families? Is it the alcoholic that stops them versus the logo, or is it purely a pure logo issue? Because I know WSO is working really hard to combine the two in all of our literature. So it's just a question around that. Curious. Thank you.
Linda, do you want to respond to that?
Just my personal opinion. I think it's the logo that's upsetting them because they thought they were coming to an alcoholic meeting because it's ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. And, you know, they were very upset about it and they never came back. But I hope they went to another meeting somewhere. We tried to explain it to them, but she was quite upset about it.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or are we in a place? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we got Denise. Go ahead, Denise.
Hi. This keeps coming up year after year, and this is original, but why not have Adult Children Anonymous, and that covers literally everything? Because yeah, it covers everything. Adult Children Anonymous, it doesn't change our logo, and I'll leave it there. And I guess my other question is, can these proposals be like amended on the floor to maybe consider another option?
Yeah, I can answer that the proposals can be amended at the ABC before, because they are not automatically motions. It can be changed before it is made into a motion, but then also once a motion is made, it can somebody can propose an amendment. So there's other possibilities.
Hey, thank you. We got a hand up from Brad.
Hi. Yeah, I think this is really important. My inner group was the author about the other proposal about this. I think really, I've said this before, is that the only name that has a chance to go forward, I think, is Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families. That's what's on our book, and that's the most descriptive. The problem with Adult Children Anonymous is that it is going backwards in my mind to be less descriptive. The ones that are thinking they were excluded because they're dysfunctional families, that's not in there. This program has such a rich history with the dealing with that coming from a long line of alcoholics, that's not in there. So I really think we just need to be named what we are: adult children of alcoholics and dysfunctional families.
Thank you, Brad. Okay.
Where I am.
All right. Well, I would suspect that based on the discussion we had about the other one and this one, there's a lot of sentiment in favor of including dysfunctional families. So I think we can leave it at that and move on to the next one. Linda, if you want to comment at all again or not, you don't have to.
I'm thinking if we did Adult Children's Anonymous, it could be overspenders, it could be children of debtors, it could be anything. So I think I agree that we need the dysfunctional families instead. Thank you.
Although we are open to children of any dysfunction, so any addiction too. And there's been, you know, talk that we, you know, there's a lot of opioid issues and wanting to be available to people who come from those families too. Okay. All right, then we'll move on to the next one. Thank you all for that one. And thank you, Linda, and your group. Proposal 14. The issue is, we propose that WSO support exploring the challenges and opportunities associated with a world of online ACA recovery, learning more about the impact on individual recovery and on the well-being of online meeting groups, including service structures needed to support these groups over time. Okay, we'll give Paul KF an opportunity. I did want to mention that it was pointed out to me that there was nothing in the analysis about the subcommittee that's been formed for meeting and service safety. But go ahead, Paul. You have up to three minutes.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you about the ACA. I'm going to say strengthening my recovery online group ballot proposal. We don't call ourselves Web 0120. We call ourselves ACA SMR. What we do is meet daily to meditate and share on the reading that appears in each day of the year in the ACA Strengthening My Recovery book. My name is, as you said, Paul KF. I'm an adult child of a dysfunctional family, and I'm currently serving as the group conscience secretary for our group, and I'm joined today by Jim R. From New York, who's also a member of our group and is our treasurer and a member of this the BPC. So the SMR online meeting was established in March of last year, in response to the pandemic, with the grateful assistance of the New Jersey Intergroup. It meets daily at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard for 1 hour every morning and provides people with the opportunity to read, meditate on, and then share on the day's reading from Strengthening My Recovery in a series of breakout rooms. We've enjoyed steady growth in participation at this meeting, initially using a Zoom license that capped us at 100 participants. And a couple of months ago, we upgraded to the 500 person limit. We're now averaging about 150 people attending every morning, 180 on some weekdays. And that number is likely to grow, partly because of the immense reach that Zoom and other software provides us in terms of reaching out to people across the globe. People regularly share with us how much they appreciate the meeting, and we strive to keep it a safe and respectful place for people pursuing recovery. We have a number of trusted servants who also step forward every day to lead and moderate the sharing that goes on in our Zoom breakout rooms, and of course others who perform service as secretaries behind the scenes. We gratefully receive donations from people primarily based in the US, but also from other parts of the world. And we've on a number of occasions sent monies in excess of our prudent reserve to WSO. So when Jim advised us of the ballot process for this year, it got us thinking, well, what is the quality of the online recovery experience compared with face-to-face meetings? Clearly, there are immense benefits to being able to connect virtually with people all over the world, but it is still a two-dimensional experience. Are people able to discover their true selves in the same way, to heal through an online experience? And what challenges might people be experiencing in an online platform? This pandemic is having a lot of effects, and I think there is evidence.
That's 3 minutes.
Oh, thank you. I'll just conclude by saying, we simply would like to present this notion of questions that might be asked in a survey, and people can then respond to them with, and WSO need not administer that. It could be intergroups, but WSO could support that by helping us craft the right questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and all right, now we'll have question and answer or comment time. And so raise your hand if you would like to speak. Okay. All right, then I'm presuming that this is fairly straightforward and nobody has any questions or comments about it.
We have a few hands coming in now. Okay.
This is
Jim. Before we get going, I just wanted to add a comment also that the WSO probably doesn't have firsthand experience with running these large meetings other than the ABC and the AWC, so it would be the individual groups as was mentioned. So I like the idea of a survey. But also would encourage you. That's an incredibly large group meeting daily. That's really incredible. So I'm sure your group itself probably has some of the best experience to be shared. So really would be a neat to see some challenges and solutions you guys have put forth, and that would be something that could be easily shared on our member toolbox section of our website. So if you have anything like that or have thought about that, that would be a great resource to share. And we have two hands up now, so we'll go to Denise R.
Hi, and this actually is for Mary Jo. Could you repeat what you said at the beginning about what the Service Network Committee is doing? I kind of missed that.
Jim B, you might have more familiarity with that as somebody, or I know that they are looking at some of this stuff. So Jim?
Sure. I think Mary Jo actually had mentioned the member services, the meeting and service safety subcommittee. So there is actually a subcommittee that's meeting regularly now and is looking at some of the issues around online meetings. I think it came out of last year's ABC, a floor motion that we need to, you know, document some of the experience and challenges of online groups. So I think it was a very similar idea that was already put forth, and there already is a subcommittee meeting. So I think, I think there's a place to go to participate this in a, you know, WSO supported subcommittee that is looking at online issues around online meetings, you know, both meetings and service around those. And as far as the service network committee is we are trying to document these best practices for meetings and for meetings and business meetings. And we'll be putting that information out in the service manual. And a lot of this information will probably be coming from the fellowship itself, as I mentioned, their experiences, and a lot of it would be captured by other committees, like the member services committee and this meeting and service safety committee. So I see the service network committee as a kind of funnel, collecting all that different information and putting it out in the service manual. So there's a one-stop shop for all that.
That's time, Jim.
Practices. All right. Thank you.
We have Kelly on. She's actually raised her hand. She's on the committee, and maybe it would be best to call on her next.
Okay. Let's go in order if we could. We had Lynn okay. Next.
Actually, Jim pretty much answered my question, because I was going to ask, if you do send out a questionnaire, and it has to be the right kind of questionnaire, and how do you know what those right questions are? And I guess you could get the experience from this particular group. What are we intending to do with those responses after they're all collected? But Jim had mentioned about putting a handbook together and sending that out, making it available to everyone. So thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Lynn.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Ian, you're up next, Kelly.
Hi, thank you. So I was a little confused as to what the was being asked, but in reading it, I was thinking of the MSSC committee that does have a subcommittee of virtual meetings, which kind of tried to get started a few years ago, but didn't really get anywhere. But now that there's so many virtual meetings, we do have a subcommittee, a virtual subcommittee meeting that will be encompassing some of this. It is a subcommittee of the meeting and service safety committee. So the focus is on safety, but how safety forms, how we maintain safety. I'm not sure that that's really what this proposal is asking, as opposed to just when they say exploring the challenges. So I feel like there are a couple of committees that are kind of working on this in piecemeal, if I'm understanding it correctly. But the virtual subcommittee meeting met January 24th and will be meeting again via Zoom probably about that same time in February.
That's time.
Thank you.
Mary Jo, that finishes the 10 minutes for this item.
All right. Thank you, Brad. I did get a text from Jim R. that he'd like to speak. So Jim, if you can do that quickly. You're on mute.
Sorry. My name is Jim, and I was involved in framing this proposal. And I, there's a lot of challenges that come up in terms of an online meeting, in particular, raising Seventh Tradition donations, and how anonymous can you be when you have to type in your name? And so it's just, we kept it specifically vague as far as like the questions we would ask in a survey, because we realized that in talking this over at the conference, that the delegation then will take over and sort of fill in the details as to what they would or wouldn't want. Maybe it doesn't go anywhere, but we just know firsthand, we have far-flung members who are in places that do not have meetings. It's impossible other than online. So I think that it's an important feature of our fellowship now, and it's been unveiled through this pandemic, how possible thing the world online can be. And because I remember when I first started going to ACA, I said, oh, online meetings, phone meetings, why would I want to do that? Well, for some people, there's no other choice. And I think we think it merits a stronger look.
Thank you, Jim. Time is up. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And thank you to the SMR meeting, Strengthening My Recovery. Okay. Let's see. Erin has added in the chat the meeting and Service Safety Committee email address. Okay, the next proposal is number 15 by the Global WSO Global Member Subcommittee. And the proposal is that the ACA Fellowship approved the Global Member Subcommittee as a standing WSO committee. Sue, you have up to 3 minutes to speak to this.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Mm-hmm. And hi, I'm Sue V, and I'm the chair of the Global Members Subcommittee. We put in the proposal what Global Members Subcommittee actually is, but just to say it again, we're representing all the continents and countries outside of Europe and US and Canada. So roughly about 148 countries, roughly, according to Google recently, 6.3 billion folks. And so we're asking for this to go to the ABC because we'd like to hear the worldwide fellowship voice on this. We're only 2 years old and we've been growing at an exponential rate. And so it's 2 years now, but we're still a subcommittee and we're finding that our voice gets lost in like the town hall, the board meetings, because we get 30 seconds. We find that even on the ABC, we'll have to be mixed with the member services. So we'll get a paragraph of whatever that's allowed. And compare that to Europe, which has 45 countries, including Russia, and they get full time at the board meeting on the Saturday. They get a full page at the ABC thing. And more importantly, the budget. We don't, Zoom is fine right now, but when we get back to face-to-face, Europe is able to send members to countries to help support them. We will not have the budget to do that under the member services. So we'd like to be a separate committee. I know that we're in consultation with the board members and WSO. They're very supportive and they have to look at all of this. But I think that this is an important issue for us to discuss as a worldwide fellowship, because I know the countries that I support feel sometimes like the lost children because their voices aren't always heard. So this is just our opportunities to say yes to the ABC. I don't think it should take too much time, I'm hoping, for us to become a standing committee. And with that, I think I have covered it. I think I've even got 56 seconds. And I'm just looking quickly. Yeah, so we just appreciate your support and I'm here to answer questions. And we have a number of proposals in different areas. But this for us is really around equity. And it's really around fairness when we compare the European Committee and the Global Members Subcommittee. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Just realized I was on mute. Thank you, Sue. All right. Does anybody have a question or comment on this one?
Okay, we have a hand up from Alexandra.
Thank you, Sue, for a very inspiring, well-crafted motion. I pass.
Thank you, Alexandra.
Okay, Jim has his hand up. Jamar.
Hi, I'm just wondering, is there a process in place for committees to kind of move from subcommittees into greater committees?
I don't know, Jim, but from our perspective, we've been asking for over a year now. Like, we're 2 years old, and we recognized in the first year we were just growing too fast, too big. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been done. I know it's in process, but Mary Jo might be able to talk about process as far as, or one of the other board members might be able to talk about process of how subcommittees transition to full committees.
Okay, next hand up is from Sharon F.
Hi, yes, this is definitely, you know, an important thing. As far as global members, I am on the board, and I know that, you know, we are restructuring the committees and to really learn from global members' model that they've been using for the, you know, the representation of the different regions, and to basically do a worldwide members, I don't know what it's called or whatever, but kind of like a whole thing of a worldwide, you know, fellowship services where no one area of the globe or country has any kind of higher standing. And there is, you know, the budget, you know, process, there is, you know, a budget process to put, you know, travel for what's needed there, which may not have been, we may have been, could do a better job at communicating how that's done to meet the needs. And so I, you know, so anyway, so that's just kind of the impetus, like the overall reorganization is already in process. And you know, but it's up to the fellowship. You know, if we, you know, talk about it at ABC, that's fine. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just adding that piece in there that it's already coming online.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. And I know in our first year of budget, we put in some numbers. Of course, everybody was looking to lower the budget, so we got lowered. It was fine at the end of the day, but it's not going to be fine if we keep growing. With that, I'll pass.
Okay, we have a hand up from John P.
You're on.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was talking away there. I was just wondering, I know, like, for example, AA and Al-Anon, they don't try to do the whole world. They break off and let the world's parts of the world do their own thing. Eventually they help them to get going. But is ACA intending to be encompassing the whole world with, this? I'm just curious about that. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Excellent question. And the way Global Members Subcommittee rolls is with Tradition 4, Group Autonomy, respecting that, and also Tradition 7, Self-Supporting. And so it's increasing the capacity for our groups to be self-supporting. I believe what we will see in the years to come with WSO Global Members Subcommittee is emerging regions. I think we will see emerging regions coming out of Africa, coming out of some parts of Asia, Far East, Australasia. And so we're going to be midwifing or birthing, I believe, in partnership with those countries. And we don't actually call any countries. They've been calling us. So it's been an inreach versus an outreach. They're calling and asking for support. And the next ballot next proposal we're going to talk about is one of a major piece that's coming out of the subcommittee. I hope I've answered your question. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Sue. Okay. I just wanted to comment that I think, you know, as we grow, our structure will change, and it will have to, but that's to be determined. So, yeah.
Do we have any time left, Mary Jo, on this, or Brad? Any time left on this?
I have less than a minute, so let's call it one more if someone wants to do it.
All right, well, there are no hands, so let me just share briefly. As a board member, and I'll be real brief because Denise wants to say something. We currently have the European Committee, which has been around for a few years, and it has helped growth. But I think our, you know, model is regions, as was said. So, and there is plans for, I think, for the European Committee to have a region. So I think being consistent with regions around the globe would be good. And I think the activities and working methods for the global, you know, the global committee has been doing is a good model for everything. And I'd like to see that the standard instead of having a, you know, this is personal opinion, instead of having a members committee focused on, you know, US and Canada and another committee focusing on elsewhere, we should just have one committee doing the same thing everywhere with, you know, the good practices that are being used today. And I'll pass. And is there any time left for Denise Brad?
There's not. So just use your judgment.
I'll defer to Mary Jo's decision.
All right. Denise, can you make it quick?
First of all, I just want to commend Sue for the amazing work she's done. I mean, done an amazing job. And what bothers me is we call ourselves WSO, World Service Organization, and how can we not have a global member? So that's all I wanted to say. It's overdue. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. And I have enough ACA recovery, I'll accept the compliment. But at the same time, I will say to you that one person can't do this. And it's, we have like 25 now country and project service coordinators around the globe with about 60 to 80 volunteers doing a tremendous amount of work here. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's move on to the next proposal. If I can actually, there we go. Technical difficulty. Okay, proposal 16, same global member subcommittee. We propose that WSO create an international literature scholarship fund to help offset literature costs for meetings in emerging countries. Okay, so you have up to 3 minutes, and we also want to recognize that this is similar to a proposal that South Africa made.
Yes, thank you. So with this particular proposal is for, as it said, international literature scholarship, or think of subsidization for emerging countries, intergroups, meeting groups, not individuals. And it's to offset literature costs. And it might seem inconceivable in some of our areas, especially in Canada, the States, that how difficult it is to purchase a BRB, how impossible it is to purchase a BRB. And we heard that from Kanelwe in South Africa. And so we've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to get with Europe and with WSO and the board and the committees to try and get print costs down, because what's causing it, the issue? It's the USD conversion, nobody's fault. If we look at Europe, for every dollar US, UK gets $1.37. It's almost a discount. You go into a country like India, and a US dollar is worth 13 cents. So the USD conversion is huge. The second piece is shipping costs. The only people who are making money, in my opinion, my personal opinion, are the shipping people. Shipping costs to a lot of these emerging countries, because sometimes they have to be courier, like it's twice the cost of literature. There's import duties. And in addition to that, there's the instability sometimes in governments where either the shipment gets lost or stolen. The ACA members are actually harassed and bullied. I've seen it by their government officials. And in South Africa, before COVID, the only way they were getting literature is people were smuggling it in suitcases to get it in the country. Like, that's how desperate they were to get books. And people will say, what about Amazon Digital? Love it. Great. It's working really well for Taiwan and the English speaking community. But in South Africa, if they're lucky enough to have a phone, they aren't necessarily lucky enough to keep it, because sometimes it gets stolen. And then they have data issues and connectivity issues. So it's not the solution. And so we're looking at getting the print costs down and working at regional and local committees, but it's still not enough. As Kanelwe was saying, in her community in Soweto, and many other communities in India, they can't afford it, even at the cost. So I'm looking for us to have an international literature scholarship fund where we can subsidize. They want a helping hand up. They don't want a handout. They want to pay their fair share, but they are living in economic situations that are challenging, to say at a minimum. And so we're really asking again for worldwide feedback, because I think WSO and the board, I think in the analysis, say they're all for it. But the only way we're going to do this is through Seventh Tradition, and from all of the meeting groups, and they're setting up things. And I think it's an important discussion to have as a worldwide community, and say, yes, this is what we want to have. And so let's solve this together, and I'll pass. Thank you. Oh, just one other thing. Again, you're gonna hear my words again. This is all about universal equity, accessibility, affordability, at the very core of our recovery, which is our literature. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay. Thank you, Sue. Okay. Now, time for questions or comments.
First up is Kelly.
Hi, thanks, Sue. I have just a question that was running through my mind when you were speaking. If this would be coming from Seventh Tradition contributions, wouldn't we need some sort of really broad group conscience court sort of thing that people would need to agree on? That, let's say, 10% of the contributions from Seventh Tradition went to this. So wouldn't it be kind of a broad fellowship group conscience to decide on that? Unless I'm hearing you wrong. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. It's, do we agree in principle that as part of our support to help increase the capacity for our groups to be self-supporting, to buy their own literature and grow their own fellowships, do we believe in principle that an international literature scholarship subsidization fund is a good idea? There are other fellowships that have it and are working using it in their emerging countries. And if we agree on that, how do we do that? And that gives people the ability to say, I want my Seventh Tradition to go to this, or maybe 50% of my Seventh Tradition to go to that, versus having to see, do we have enough money in our budget to do this? Secondly, how do you administer it? We are doing actually business proposals, if you will, on global members. We've done one in South Africa. We've done one in India. It's very time consuming, but we're looking at that and how much subsidy do you need in order to make this accessible to your fellowship. So if it's agreed in principle, then yes, we need to have a process behind it. With that, I'll pass. I hope that answers your question. But I can't see us having a worldwide group conscience on every single request, right? I think that comes down to concept 10 and service autonomy and figuring out a process around that. If that's what you were asking.
Any other questions or comments?
I think Jim R. is asking.
Yeah, hi, this is Jim. I have a comment, too, actually. So in my meeting, there was a person who wanted to purchase a book for another member, and I wondered if there was a gift certificate type set up at WSO, because no one lives next door, we're all virtual, and that it wasn't there. And I think this is a wonderful idea, because as treasurer of my meeting, I see how incredibly generous our members are. And there could be a separate stream, a button on our website that said, would you like to make a donation to this literature fund? And believe me, there are people who are very appreciative of what ACA has given to them, and they are looking for ways to give back. Thank you. I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
You have a hand up from Brad.
Hi, I'm Brad. I just wanted to say that I'm a huge supporter of this idea. It hurts just when I think about, I've talked to people who the cost is $50 for a book, and they're in a poverty-stricken country, and you know, I just take for granted that I can buy it. So I'm all in favor of this fund. I'm in favor of there being a way for ACAs to donate directly to this fund. You know, I think we have the board and others to make the decision about how much percentage and so forth. You know, that's why we don't have to have a group mm-hmm. conscience on all the operations. We have a structure and process to, you know, that we figure things out, and we trust them to do that, or at least I do.
Thank you, Brett.
Okay, next up is Linda H.
Hi, I agree. I think this is a wonderful idea. The Big Red Book has made such a difference in my recovery and still continues to. And I think we need to provide it to as many people as possible. And putting it on the web and just putting, do you want to donate and how much? That would be real simple to do. And it sounds like a wonderful idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Jim B, we don't have gift certificates on the shopping cart, do we?
Well, no, we do not. But we do not have a gift certificate concept. But it is worth mentioning. Brad, do you want to say anything about the the work that you've been doing with the change into the seven tradition and what we may expect in the next month or so?
Sure. I've been running Point on a new seven tradition software platform, which is really close to going into its final testing. It has the technology to earmark funds, like there's a general fund, like everybody does a general fund now, but there could be an international book fund, so that people could donate to. Just to clarify, I'm working in the IT, and the technology is coming. The decision will be made by the various ACA boards and committees about whether that will be implemented. And that beeping means we've hit the 10-minute mark for this ballot item.
Thank you, Brad. So are we good?
I'm good done and I'm good. But Charlie, I think Charlie's got his hand up.
Just a quick show of hands. I think we have like either a yes or a hand raising function. If I could just ask, because I'm on the board and we really have the option of getting to work on this, at least working out the details even before April. If I were to ask, how many people would like to see this option on the WSO website? If you could get a hand up if you're physically on a screen or digitally raise hands or whatever. I just would like to get a sense of what the support on this is. Okay. So is anybody brave enough to say you think this is a bad idea? Okay. So it sounds like I suspect the reason I'm, I would say maybe one hand up thinking it's a bad idea, two hands up. Okay. So it's not 100%, but it's good to know that it seems like there's a lot of support here. Just begin preparing ourselves at the board for this. Thank you.
But David, my hand was up in support, but
it's support. I'm sorry, we don't want to take kind of no vote.
I did want to point out on this topic that, you know, we have at least one book coming out very shortly that'll be 200 pages at $750, and ergo the cost of it mm-hmm. will be down. The cost of everything will it be down? And so but still, that's still a lot of money in some places, even. And yeah, it'll be out digitally as well, but that precludes you having internet and a computer, which is also first world, not so much second, third world. So, but I just wanted to add that. But it's something we need to do in a more consistent avenue. So I'm for it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I am too.
Okay, also. David. Thank you, David.
All right, we're going to move on to the next proposal.
Okay.
And that is, all right, we're moving to 18. We'll do 17 last. 18 is global members again. And it is that we propose that the annual business conference and the ACA World Convention, the AWC, should occur annually with live online access to the International Fellowship. This proposal should be included in the operating procedures and it's actually policy manual. That's okay. OPPM. Sue, you can speak to this, but we do have a mandate to make the ABC virtual, and I'm not sure that we have that actually for the AWC, but go ahead.
Yeah, that was my understanding, and that's why we talked amongst ourselves in global, because in global members in many parts of the world, even in Canada and the US, it seems inconceivable now after 2020 that we would ever not have an online portion side by side when it's safe enough to be physical with our conventions. 2020 changed everything. And I can tell you from a global members perspective, the engagement, the excitement, the newcomers that were coming in was phenomenal. And they just can't come. Many of them cannot come to the States. And for a lot of different reasons. And so I know that we're doing it this year, I believe. I'm sure that we would do it, but for me, it comes down to, it's not a nice to have. It's actually, it should be mandatory, just like the ABC is mandatory to have online. If we're doing physical, it has to be online plus physical. I think it should be mandatory for AWC. If we're going to have an AWC, then it should be online plus physical, if physical is face-to-face. And the only way that I know to do that is to put it in the OPPM. I know that we have lots of great people on the board and in all the committees. So there's not a doubt in my mind that we're all on the same page with this, but we're all volunteers, and we're all going to rotate off. And this is our legacy for the future, I believe, that we do what we say, right? And that's part of us being ACA. People would say things but not do them. But we're actually saying, yes, this is important. And that, you know, it absolutely should be in the OPPM. Not a question, not a discussion. It just happens. I know from a global members in all the countries, they just would be devastated if there wasn't an online portion in 2025 down the road when some of us might not be here. And others might be making other decisions. So I just feel that if we truly are worldwide international, sorry, Brad, I can't see your time, so just tell me. I just feel that it's so important, and you can hear the passion. It's not a mistrust. I think we have great people here. I just think it's our legacy to put it in the OPPM. And with that, I'll pass. Okay.
Thank you, Sue. Do we have any questions or comments?
Yes, we have a few hands up. We have Alexandra first.
Thanks for writing this motion, Sue, together with the Global Committee. I haven't crafted a motion with the group anyway, but I would like something similar for the live portion of not having it in the States, but having it, it sounds like a great idea, in the OPPM, where it travels through the regions. Because, well, I'm not going to fly anymore ever again. And, you know, because my grandchildren and stuff like that. But to make it possible to meet in person without having to always fly to the States, and to help us do that, like have it in Europe, have it in Africa, have it in multiple parts of Asia, where it's just where people can gather live from an area where they can travel by bus or train, but still meet and be inspired live. And it can travel, you know, in like 6 years around the globe. But I'm writing other motions now together, but it's down the line. And this seems to be the same principle of accessibility and equity and unity and spreading the message. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexandra. Your time's up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next is David.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with the motion. I agree. I mean, we're doing it. We'll do it in 2022, but to codify and put it in the OPPM, I think it's a no-brainer, but it needs to be codified. So 5 years from now, they say, well, we don't need to do that anymore. So I think it needs to go in the OPPM. I'm certainly, it's kind of like the cat's out of the bag. We got to do it. So we'd have a worldwide revolt. So thank you.
Thank you, David.
Great. Next up is Lynn F.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I am in total agreeance with this. I've just even in our own groups have seen how our groups have grown immensely because of the availability of Zoom. And a lot of them are newcomers, and they have also asked the question, when the pandemic is gone, are we still going to be able to get together on Zoom? So our individual group has decided to do a hybrid, and that we will continue with that. So I think it's something, you know, technology is here, and I think we need to move forward. And I think that it opens it up to have the ABC and the ASW or whatever it's called, the annual meeting, is also available by Zoom. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Lynn.
And next up is Kelly.
Yeah, I don't know. I know in my experience this past year, of course, this would have been the first year in a few years that I went to the ABC because it was going to be in my neck of the woods. But, you know, there were at least three or four participants in the ABC and the AWC from my home group that never would have been there if it wasn't for Zoom. It's kind of like, you know, I kind of see it like, you know, a pickle goes to a cucumber and you can never go back. I don't know how we could go back. I don't know how we could take away the option of so much accessibility. So it was kind of a silver lining the last year. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Charlie has his hand up.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of numbers to this discussion. We had our first annual World Convention AWC in 2016. I think they had maybe about 250 people. And the most I've seen has been maybe closer to 500 people. With 5 weeks notice, 4 weeks notice in 2020 after we canceled the in-person, we had like 2,300 people sign up. And we had some programs that just the program alone got over 1,100 people. So I'm assuming we got at least three times as many people, maybe four times as many people, 1 year, no publicity virtually, than we've ever had before. And for me, one of the most exciting moments in my ACA was that 24 hours of the AWC just kind of following around the globe and having people from all around the world saying the surrounding prayer in every different language. I don't see it. I want to see where this goes, not go back to some model that was just never this inclusive.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. And Sunil from India said, it's ACA, the sun never sets. and around we go around the world. And I'll just add this one piece on the Eastern Hemisphere in Australasia and in the Far East. They couldn't believe that because we did a 2 a.m. one Eastern time. They couldn't believe we'd stay up and be awake and talk to them live. And they didn't get live much in those days. And they were just so grateful that we were doing that sort of around the world piece, because they're like from an Eastern time zone, they're 14, 16, sometimes 18 hours ahead of us. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Sue. Okay. I think our time is about up with that one. So we will move to our last proposal, which is number 17, again, Global Member Subcommittee and Maryland Group 0060. And the proposal is that the Annual Business Conference, ABC, grant a representative from the proposing group of each ballot item on the agenda 3 minutes to speak to its meaning, intent, and importance. This would occur after the initial reading of the item, but before general comments begin. Okay, Sue or Brad, whoever is going to address this.
Okay, so I'm going to start and I'll do a minute 30 seconds-ish, and then Brad's going to finish it off. We talked about it. So I'm just going to start my timer, and then Brad, when my timer goes off, you go. It's a relay. So first off, I want to say that the town hall, amazing success. Love what we're doing right now. And I think it's not an either we do this or we don't get it at the ABC. We talked amongst ourselves, Brad and I, we still believe strongly that we need to keep the town halls. No going back, I think. But we also need to have a time at the ABC, because not everyone is a delegate who's going to be a delegate is on these calls. Not everybody would be listening to the recording. And I think that we are too diverse. We have too many cultures. We have so many beautiful different ideas around the world that I think that we're making really important decisions as delegates at the ABC. I think granting them 3 minutes, which might be 30 to 45 minutes total at the ABC, depending on how many proposals get there, is worthwhile, because I would like to know the context. If you heard Kanellway in Sawato talking about what international literature scholarship meant to her, your heart would break open and you would understand that versus the facts and figures that I'm giving you. So I really think it's important that we allow those voices to be heard for us, but also for them. In not just in the global members, but in Europe and in Canada and the States and everywhere, that if you've taken the time to do this, we need the time to hear you and to be heard. And Brad, take it away.
Hey, I'm Brad from MD00060 or something like that. I really think the most important part of this is to look at the numbers in how inclusive and exclusive we're being. The number of people in here is a fraction of the people that are going to come to the ABC. And last year, there was a ballot that came up where it broke off into a working room, so forth. And the piece that came back from the working room was so far away from the intention of the ballot item. I just think these type of things would not happen if a speaker was given 3 minutes or so. You know, not just even, it's so important for people that are not native English speakers, but even for native English speakers. And let's say 12 proposal gets to, that's 36 minutes in 2 days. If we can't do 36 minutes in 2 days, I'm just gonna speak for myself, but we're not doing the ABC right if we can't do 36 minutes to try to give this thing. I just feel it's really important. I think it ought to be implemented this year. I think it ought to be voted first as the item on ballot items. And if it gets implemented, if it makes it there, apply it to everybody else. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Okay, now Hansu. Now we will open it up to questions or comments. Okay, going, gone. Oh, we have one, okay.
I'm talkative today. Well, first of all, I want to commend whoever put the town hall together, because this is brilliant, and it's long overdue. And what I'm thinking is, instead of taking time during the ABC, you know, why not, you know, in the packet for the delegates, that, you know, refer them. This is what you need to do to be a delegate. Because, well, and you know, just to refer, it's like, well, yeah, depending on people's time schedules, this town halls is all over time, but I'm retired, so it doesn't matter. But I like how the town hall's working, and I think it's a great start. Oh, and just to say, I'm running out of time, so never mind. Okay, thanks.
Just want to mention that there is a delegate handbook that's being created that will be given before too long. So, well, there's the regular delegate handbook for the ABC, but then there's also a delegate training subcommittee handbook that will be distributed separately, which will eventually be part of, I believe, the handbook that the Service Network Committee is working on. Okay, any questions or comments on this one?
Just one last comment, if I may, if no one else has one. One of the thoughts that I had as well is that these town halls, I again commend everyone because it's a fabulous idea and I want them to continue. Even as original authors, they may have some reflections after hearing feedback, the question and answer. And I'd like to hear that if something changed in what their proposal was, or they wanted to add something to it that they hadn't thought of before. With that, I'll pass. I see Alexandra's got her hand up.
Yes, I thank you again for writing this motion, and I think it is very important. I was a delegate for 2 years, and the 100 pages you get to read, it's a lot. And written word can never be substituted by speaking from the heart. And especially with a motion, was it 1 year ago? Yes, that had the most votes that got voted down because speaking from the heart, but not from the people crafting the motion that had spent years on it. And because also, which has changed now, the comments from the board of what was being done. I think it's vital that the people that have spent years crafting these motions and researching and going through this can speak from the heart to it in a way that you cannot write. That's what I'm learning to do. It cannot compare to a written thing at all. And that's why we meet on Zoom instead of live. And that's why we have relationships like sponsors that sponsor us. It cannot, it's not about the written word in the book. So I think this is really, really important. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alexander.
Okay, next we have Kelly.
Hi, yeah, I also do like the idea. I do have a concern that if they're given 3 minutes and then it's opened up for, you know, discussion to the delegates, you know, what I struggle with seeing happening is then are the delegates going to start asking questions of the presenter? And then is the presenter going to start answering? And then is it going to get into the time that, you know, the delegates have, which I already think is pretty short. So I guess I'm thinking, I think it's a good idea, but there needs to be boundaries.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I do want to say that early on when this was presented, well, actually a few years ago, several years ago, I wasn't necessarily in favor of it because so few of the presenting groups were able to actually go to the ABC. And I thought it gave, you know, ended up with sort of a lopsided thing. But now that we're virtual and all proposing groups who have their proposal and land on the agenda would be able to speak to it, whether in person or virtually in the future, would make it possible. So, but yeah, I sure, I know Kelly well, not Shelly. I share Kelly's concern. Okay, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Jim, if I can make a comment. My concern about the, particularly the way we did it last year, it just seemed very short. We didn't have enough time. And, you know, I think it was like 10 minutes for comments and who knows who those 10 people are. And, you know, and I think everyone noticed, you know, there's some people who are really quick at clicking and they get to speak a lot. And it's, you know, 10 people speaking on an item is really not, you know, not enough to understand it fully. So I really like what we did with the breakout rooms. And you know, think maybe we could do something more. We spent a lot of time on the breakout rooms. Why only, you know, do a small number of them? We could, you know, do breakout rooms to have those big, good discussions first for the people who are interested in them, and just, you know, somehow to get into a deeper thing where more people can speak to the item. It's great to give 3 minutes to the presenter, but I think, you know, there's not enough, even that, there's still not enough discussion to really get to the important issues that we may get to if we had more time to discuss it. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Jim.
That's 10 minutes on the item, Mary Jo.
Okay. Okay. If this proposal lands on the agenda and it gets implemented, the ABC committee will be tasked with figuring out a way to implement it effectively. And if it is on the agenda in anticipation of implementing it right away in 2021, we can try to, because I'm on that committee and along with a few people on this call, we can try to figure that out ahead of time if it ends up being a motion that is passed. So, okay. That is the end of the proposals. Before we have a question and answer session, I do want to mention that if you don't know this already, when you get your ballot link, which you'll get an email on the 15th, which is when the ballot itself opens for voting, you'll get four links actually, because we have four languages this year. When you get that, when your group is filling out the ballot, there is an opportunity to make comments about each of the proposals. So please do that if you have any sort of argument in favor or against or whatever. Please avail yourselves of that. So are there any questions in general about the ballot? The ballot and the ABC. I know that many of you have been on other of these town halls, so you've become very well educated in the process. Okay.
All right. Mary Jo? Jim? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just add that in the past, I'm not sure exactly how it would be this year, it's helpful to have all your determinations and comments sort of listed and written down somewhere, because it's hard to, you can't sort of leave the survey and go back to it, or it has been difficult. So you just might want to get all your answers ready when you submit your vote.
Thanks. Jim. Yeah. All right. Well,
actually,
I think Charlie has a question.
Okay,
this is a question for the whole group, because one thing we struggled with last year, and I suspect this year will be similar. The ABC, wow, 5 years, such a difference. I mean, we have now people from all around the world, which means somebody is up at a very awkward hour, you know, during the debate. But we also have had more submissions, again, from around the world. So one of the things we really tried to do last year, and it meant we limited to about 30 minutes per item if they didn't go to a breakout room. And that was probably the single biggest negative feedback we got. So this year, just kicking it around, we've been talking about lengthening it to 45 minutes. For those of you on the West Coast, that might mean starting voting more like 6 a.m. or for people in Sweden or further east, you know, being up till 11 or midnight, if we are actually start giving more time. That seems like the right trade-off to me, but I just wanted to get a sense as to whether people agree with that or not. You know, because we were doing a lot of our motions debating essentially between 12 and 3 or 3:30 Eastern time to sort of keep it from being too early or too late, but it meant really we had a limit for limited time for the number of motions we were looking at. So are people comfortable with, we just let it go longer and somebody has to lose some sleep? Okay, I'm seeing thumbs up and
You're suggesting or asking if people are comfortable with lengthening the date.
Lengthening the actual debate and voting time, because the trade-off is to get the time, I think, that people are wanting for a fuller, richer exploration of an issue. Because this is a worldwide event, it's just simply going to start pushing people to either stay awake later or get up earlier or both. And so I just, you know, my instinct is we should give more time. That was, as I say, the single biggest frustration reported back to me about last year.
So in other words, it would be from 9 a.m. to 5:45 potentially.
Potentially, or 9 to 5 or something like that, just to allow more time. I mean, we'll probably still have a few non-voting periods, but longer than like 12 to 3 or 11:30 to 3:30. So I just wanted to make sure that people are good with that. They seem like it. So I see Sue has her hand.
Let me be sure then, maybe I misunderstood. So you're saying within the prescribed day that we already have,
yeah,
lengthening the time for each proposal.
Allotting the time we allot for ballot measure discussion so that we can have more time for each motion, you know, basically.
And just to be clear too, that's a factor of how many proposals make it onto the agenda, as well as other business that has to be conducted. Yeah.
Correct, exactly. But we intentionally constrained more than we needed to last year, trying to keep it from being too early, too late. And I think what I'm just sort of asking is, are people comfortable if we chose to begin the debate and voting earlier, let it run later? Because that would certainly allow us to do more time promotion. And my sense is people generally seem comfortable with that. And I see two hands up.
Yeah, more than that, we got Sue first, then we have about...
I think Charlie's taking an unofficial poll.
Yeah.
Are you? Okay.
Okay. I really wasn't. I think some people are up to speak. I interpreted this as people wanted to speak, not that I was doing a poll.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll speak last.
Well, Sue's been waiting. I don't know if you want me to clear the hands and see who wants to speak.
Yeah, because I've spoken before. I'll go last.
All right, I'm gonna put the hands, and then if you do want to speak, raise it again.
Yeah.
I can't lower it.
Okay, we got Kelly.
I'm just listening to Charlie, and the idea of extending the time for people, you know, for the ballots to be tossed around, I think is a great idea because it felt very squished last year. But it makes sense more to me even now that the AWC is not going to be the same weekend. So we're not looking at, you know, 4 solid days of screen time. So we're glazed over. So it makes good sense to me. I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
I certainly understand where you're coming from, Charlie, and I think, you know, we're trying to be more temporally inclusive, and that probably will help. But at the same time, you know, the globe is the globe, and so, you know, there will always be people that if they want to participate, they'll have to get up at 2 a.m. Sydney time, or, you know, so I think it's a wise idea, and, you know, it will capture more people, but there will be parts of the globe where it will be inconvenient for some.
Thank you, Paul.
Here we got Brad.
Hi. I wanted just to speak briefly to encouraging inclusivity before we finish this, that I attend like 2 or 3 or 4 different ACA meetings. Many of the meetings before I brought it to them, never voted, never considered voting, didn't want to get involved. Some people had bad reactions when I brought it up, but in every group I brought it up with, there was a core enough group of people that wanted to have a group conscience and to do it. So I'm just encouraging. I feel like we're stronger the more people we get to participate rather than so forth. So I encourage people to go out there, even if you're in a meeting like I am that doesn't like that kind of stuff type of thing. There probably are others out there that think it's important.
Thanks, Brad. Okay, Sue, go ahead then.
Okay, hi, Sue V again. Love the ideas, but and we might not be able to do all of this this year, but one of the things that I think helps with inclusivity and equity and stuff is that it's not the same country and the same people that always have to get up in their PJs, right? So maybe if we could look at that, like I know early morning is great for everybody except for the Far East and Australasia, and late afternoon, they get up and that's their morning. They're getting up, you know, by 5 o'clock, they're up and moving around. So I don't know, you know, crazy me. Why don't we have a longer type ABC and have a siesta in the middle of it and maybe do some of the votes in the morning and some of the votes in the afternoon. So at least they get an opportunity once. And I guess the other thing is, which would be more problematic, is proxy votes for those that can't get up. But that I know won't be this year. But and I know it's probably something that nobody wants to get into. But that's another idea. Anyway, I'll pass. Thank you.
Can I just speak to proxy votes? The only problem with that is that there's information that's often presented at the ABC that could change somebody's opinion. Yeah. And, if they're not there to hear it. Jim R.
I think we might want to anticipate a time in which we have so many proposals that we may have to even sort of say this time is budgeted for proposals, maybe even assign certain proposals, and then the rest is tabled to next year.
Okay. Along with that, the possibility of having a structured way of working on them before the ABC. So, yeah. Good. Okay, Alexandra?
Yeah, as we grow bigger and more people's ideas are put into the World Group conscience, there might also be the option of having 2 weekends or 3, because I really like this idea that I haven't gone into so much, but that Julianne raised of knowledge-based decision-making, mm-hmm. where you don't stress decisions. Mm-hmm. The serenity is not the stress. The stress is from the fear. To have time for the important discussions and the changes of heart and the inspiration, mm-hmm. I think that is really, really vital for a functioning group conscience. So maybe thinking about other options if there are a lot of very vital issues that the World Group conscience wants to discuss as ballots, but having enough time to be able to be in a serene place without stress and evolving thoughts and being inspired by other people's thoughts and thinking of other ways to work around that. And around the time issues, one can also if the physical ABC goes around the world, so can the time when voting on the ABC from year to year differ. So it's not always afternoon for some people that we share when you get up in the morning or you stay up very late.
Thank you. I want to just remind us that hopefully in 2022, we will be back to having an in-person component. Because the as difficult as it is to contemplate the idea that people can't come from around the world, and that's a sadness now that as we become more global in the way things are done and we've met so many more people, we still have to schedule around people going to the ABC, because I think for me, being there in person when I can be is invaluable. So being able to blend what we do in person with online and make it reasonable is important to keep in mind how we do it. So, yeah. All right. Any other questions?
Mary Jo, just a piece of laughter with that. So if we had a siesta, those that wanted to go on the golf course for a couple of hours could do that and then come back refreshed. Just thought I'd add a little bit of levity.
That was directed to you, Jim.
Thank you.
Maybe others that like to golf.
Back in the day, but okay. All right, so are there any other questions about the ballot process or the ABC in general, or are we ready to adjourn for today? Well, I think then we will adjourn. I am so grateful, along with the committee and the board. I think I speak for all of us, our gratitude for your participation today, and that this format of town halls, I would say, has been a success. So we will certainly make sure that we do this next year, because yeah, it's a good idea. All right, we will close with the ACA adaptation of the Serenity Prayer. And if you want to say it in your own language, if English isn't your first language, feel free to do that for us along with us. So, okay. Higher power.
Higher power.
And in Miles's honor, heavy on the wisdom.
Heavy on the wisdom.
Heavy on the wisdom. Who knew Miles? Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you, Planning Committee.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.